Is there a scene from the Bible that you would have liked to have seen in person? Well, Skip Heitzig shares with us one of the scenes he wishes he could have seen.
Hey, wouldn't it be cool to watch Paul witness? It'd be just fun. Hey, let's go to the synagogue with Paul. You know he's going to start talking to people. He's a visiting rabbi, and he'd stand up in the synagogue and start sharing his faith. And you got to know that watching Paul share his faith made an impact.
Make the connection. Study the word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa, whoa.
Scientists and researchers have developed a way to determine your exact carbon footprint by gathering data on the type of car you drive, how much energy your household consumes, and data based on other factors. It can now be estimated exactly what sort of impact you're having on the world's environment. While it's certainly important to know what sort of impact we're having on the biosphere, it's more important to know what sort of spiritual footprint we're leaving on this world. And Skip Heitzig explores this concept in greater detail today here on The Connection. But before we begin, here's just a quick suggestion to help you get your Christmas shopping started early.
Don't let the busyness of the holidays squeeze out your time with Christ. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Pierce Rose have a series of Bible studies called the Fresh Life Series that take just 20 minutes a day. Learn how to have meaningful relationships in Live Relationally and discover the secrets of faith in Live Faithfully. Get both studies for just $20 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. These studies will provide encouragement and blessing long after the warm glow of Christmas has faded. Also available as Stars Shine Bright, a Christmas album that celebrates the real reason for the season. Find Christmas gifts with meaning from The Connection. Visit connectionradio.org.
And we have several resources packaged together at special prices to bless someone you know this Christmas. To see all that we have available, just go to connectionradio.org. Want to know how you can have the maximum impact for God's kingdom? One way to learn that is by looking at the life of Paul. And that's exactly what we're about to do right here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, and let's join Skip Heitzig for today's study on Paul's long road to Rome.
Now, when you hear the word Stradivarius, what comes to mind besides violin? Do you think cheap, junk, $10 violin? No, you think quality, excellence, the best. You know why? It's because Antonius Stradivarius, the designer, believed that if any violin would leave his shop, it should be near perfect as humanly possible. He said, other men will make violins, but I'll make the best. And this is why, quote, God needs violins to send his music into the world. And if any of my violins are defective, God's music will be spoiled. So he instilled into his workers that threshold of quality work so that people would have maximum impact from the good work that they did. So relationship is the first level that we can all make an impact and influence on people's lives at home and on the job. There's the second, worship. In Corinth, in verse 4, they were able to watch Paul go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In verse 11, he continued there 18 months teaching them the word of God. But look at verse 4. And Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. If you were in Corinth on the Sabbath, you would always see Paul there. He was there every, it says, Sabbath. So Paul displayed a consistent expression of worship. Wouldn't it be cool to watch Paul worship? Aquila and Priscilla saw him worship. Timothy and Silas, in the next verse, saw him worship. Now you might be thinking, but Skip, we're not supposed to watch other people worship. We're supposed to be focused on God. Yeah, you're right. We're supposed to, but we do. It's who we are. We do notice the way people worship. And frankly, I don't think it's all that bad to do so. I think it can be healthy. Because I think if we're in a group and we're always closing our eyes and always just, you know, it's us and God, and we can do that at home. The fact that we're together in a community can be very exciting to worship with other people and get how they're doing it. Also, I think it's very inspiring. It's wonderful to see people who are passionately in love. I love that. It's also great to watch people passionately in love with Jesus Christ. It can be very, very inspiring. Somebody said of us Americans that we've become a people, a generation who worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. Well, I'm suggesting don't do that. Display a different model. Show the people around you in your life, friends, coworkers, family especially, that you relate to God and you relate to His church by consistent worship. There's a study that was put out. It said if both mom and dad attend church regularly, there's a 72% chance that their children will remain faithful to God as they grow older. Those are high odds. However, if the dad only attends church regularly, has a consistent expression of worship, and not the mother, there's a 55% chance the children remain faithful. Those are high odds. But, now listen, dads, listen, men, if the mom only remains consistent and faithful, then it drops down to a 15% chance that that child or children will remain faithful to the Lord as they grow older. So Paul, every Sabbath in the synagogue, doing what he does in his worship and his reasoning. And then in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Hey, there's another thought. How about taking what you learn and meeting with one or two people during the week and telling, teaching, sharing with them over breakfast or lunch or a coworker when you have a break? Well, let's move on to a third way that you can make an impact on people, and that is apostleship. Now, I'm not saying that you're all apostolic, but the word apostle means to be sent out. That's simply what Paul was, somebody sent out. And he was sent out by the church in Antioch. He was, you could say, the first foreign missionary. And in verse 1, he comes to Corinth. Why? Is he on vacation? No, he's there to what? Preach the gospel. That's what his life is all about. So Paul's life was a living example of a person who is sold out to Jesus Christ. And that made an impact. Because you see, people would have heard of his boldness. Boy, here's a guy, he's not scared to go anywhere. He'll even go to Corinth and Athens. And they will hear that he gets arrested, and he gets hurt, and he gets put in prison. And that will inspire them as they see a guy who goes out. Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 1, and he says, most of the brethren have become confident in my chains and are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Did you get that? They hear Paul's in jail again. That gives me confidence to share the word right where I'm at. So Paul's going out gave them inspiration to speak out. And he goes to Corinth. A very lewd place, an immoral place. Let me tell you about Corinth. Corinth had next to it a hill called the Acro Corinth. And on top of the hill was a temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, which employed 1,000 priestesses. They were prostitutes, slaves, who would go into the city every night and ply their worship trade, their prostitution on the mat of the city. It was so rampant, sexual immorality, that as you saw in the video, to play the Corinthian, Corinthiezestai, was a word that had been used of an immoral lifestyle. Oh, you're a Corinthian, you're so bad. You know, it's like whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Same with Corinth. It had that kind of a reputation. Paul went there. Paul allowed himself to be sent out even here. Let me say, if you're a missionary here today, maybe you're on furlough, maybe you're about to go out as a missionary, maybe you're listening on the webcast or radio and you're a missionary, how inspired we are by the fact that you would leave the comforts of the United States and go to another place to reorient, to transition, and to share your faith there. That's an inspiration to us, as it was back then. Paul's apostleship made an impact on people's lives. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa, a medical missionary. He gave his life for that country. When Livingstone died, his body was sent back to London for burial in Westminster Abbey. I've stood in Westminster Abbey on his tombstone and read it. And the day of his funeral, his casket was being paraded through London. Throngs of people were there to watch this great missionary's funeral. One man in the crowd who saw the casket of David Livingstone come forward started weeping and started crying convulsively. And a man in the crowd noticed it and said, "Did you know David Livingstone?" He said, "I knew him well. We were boyhood friends. In fact, we grew up together. In fact, we both went to Africa together." He said, "David Livingstone went for Africa's souls. I went there for Africa's gold. And today I realize that I have concentrated on the wrong world." Here's a man in a casket who made a maximum impact by going out. And I have spent all of my life on my own stuff. I've concentrated on the wrong world. Well, Paul not only went out, but he spoke out. Look at verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Hey, wouldn't it be cool to watch Paul witness? It'd be just fun. Hey, let's go to the synagogue with Paul. You know he's going to start talking to people. He's a visiting rabbi. And he'd stand up in the synagogue and start sharing his faith. And you got to know that watching Paul share his faith made an impact. When I first dated my wife, Lenya, one night I said, "Lenya, let's go out street witnessing." She said, "What does that mean?" I said, "It means we're going to walk up to people on the streets or on the pier. And we're just going to start talking to them. And we'll talk to them about Jesus." Now, she was saved from an atheistic background. And the idea of somebody just walking up and share, it's like, whoa. I said, "Tell you what, you don't have to say anything. Just come with me and watch and pray." So we'd walk up to people, talk to them. And by the end of the night, two or three people gave their lives to Christ. Toward the end of the night, she said, "I want to try." And she did and became very effective at it. And as other people watch you speak out, it inspires them. And I hope you are speaking out. You might say, "No, I like to live my witness." Well, it's great. Hopefully you're a wonderful person and you live a good witness. But let's say you're a wonderful person and you live a wonderful witness. If you never tell people why you're such a wonderful person, how's that going to help? Jesus said, "Don't put your light under a bushel." Wherever you work, whatever you do, you're a student, you work in an office, you work in a car, you're working by phone, use your voice to tell them. You see, secret discipleship won't work. Either the secrecy will destroy the discipleship or the discipleship will destroy the secrecy. So the impact of watching Paul. Finally, and we close with this, hardship. This is the least of our favorite topics, hardship. This is what I mean. You will influence people. You will make maximum impact on people's lives if they watch you suffer well. Not watch you suffer. We all suffer. Some of us don't do it very well. Some of us do it with lots of complaining. But some do it well, and that makes an impact. And they were able to watch Paul's response to the resentment as well as to the reassurance by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he did. He departed from there, entered into the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Now listen to what Jesus says to him. "Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Evidently, Paul, when he came to Corinth, was having a rough time. He felt intimidated and he felt afraid, because you don't tell a person, "Don't be afraid," unless they're afraid. I mean, you walk up to a person happy and giddy, "Hey," and you go, "Hey, don't be afraid." Doesn't make sense. Paul, when he came to Corinth, had not a confident feeling like, "I am the great apostle, listen to me." He felt very weak and very intimidated and very fearful. Now, I know that not only from what I read here in these last two verses, but because he said that to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, declaring to you the testimony of God. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." But what would it have been like to watch Paul in weakness, fear, and trembling, and to learn from that? For instance, what would it have been like in Philippi? Paul gets beat up, thrown in jail. And then you hear, did you hear what happened to Paul last night? At 12 midnight, he was singing praises to God. Wow, really? Or Paul, when he was in Rome and thrown in jail, and he writes back to the Philippians and he said, "Hey, don't worry about me. Me being here allows me to witness to prison guards, and the gospel is being furthered. That's how I see my prison stay." Wow. Or young Timothy reading Paul's final letter, 2 Timothy, where Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The impact of a life that had gone through suffering, but suffered in a godly way, in a righteous way. And Paul knew that. Paul knew that to model suffering in a godly way was more powerful than words. Listen to what he writes to these Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "When we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit. When God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you, so that you can patiently endure the same things we suffer." Modeling suffering to people in a godly manner makes them step back and go, "Wow, now that guy, that gal, they live the Christian life. They're not just a Christians on the weekend, but when it's really tough, that's impressive." Folks, listen, God has editing rights over your life. In other words, you might plan your day, you might plan your week, you might plan your whole life. Don't you know God can come in and splice and cut and say, "Nah, I don't want those plans. Here's my plans." It involves a huge change. You're not going there, you're going there. You're not going to do that, you're going to do that. And in fact, it's going to hurt. But if you patiently endure that suffering, that pain, what an impact you'll make on other people. So they were able to observe Paul's relationship at home, at work, Paul's worship in the synagogue, and as he taught for a year and a half. They were able to watch Paul's apostleship as he went out and as he spoke out. And they were able to observe his hardship as he endured the suffering for Christ. I think if you were to give Aquila and Priscilla that same test we started out with, let's say you said, Aquila, Priscilla, name the last five Roman senators. I'd say, I don't know. Can you name the last 10 Olympic runners in Athens or the Isthmian game winners in Corinth? No. Okay, Aquila, Priscilla, name a person who has been an inspiration to you and helped you through some difficult times, who has really influenced your life. I think on the top of their list, they would have said Paul the Apostle. Because the way he modeled his life, by the way, Harvard University did a study, how to get people to change effectively. They discovered something interesting. The most effective way to get people to change is by modeling. I don't mean getting on a runway strutting clothes. I mean being an example, modeling your life for people. As people watch the life of another person close up, it becomes the most effective way to change. Do you want to make an impact? I do. Boy, I don't want to get to the end of my life and start crying and saying, I concentrated on the wrong world. I want to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. More than that, I inspired others. Well, you know, if you want to be an influence, if you want to be an inspiration, if you want to make maximum impact in an eternal sense, in a spiritual sense, you got to first be spiritual, right? It's like the old recipe I found on how to cook a rabbit. Speaking of the rabbit. Instruction number one, first catch the rabbit. That makes sense. If you're going to make a spiritual impact on people, first be spiritual. And let me just suggest to you that if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you might be a wonderful person in this community. You might do all sorts of philanthropic, wonderful things. But if you want to make a difference forever in a person's life, then get close to Jesus Christ. Love Him. Live for Him. And model that. All the difference in the world.
Well, there's a big difference between being merely a good person and a truly influential person. I hope that the desire of your heart will be like Paul's, a desire to truly influence this world for Christ. And if you'd like to get a copy of today's teaching, stay with us and we'll tell you how to order one right after some details on special items we have for your Christmas shopping this year. Here's more about that.
On average, people spend about 7.6 hours sleeping, 8.8 hours at work, 2.6 hours in leisure or athletic activities, and 1 hour eating and drinking. When you add in Christmas shopping to that list, whoa, that's a busy schedule. But where does God fit in? Where's the time to read through God's Word? All of God's Word when we're so busy. Well, the Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig provides you with a simple system for going through the entire Bible in just 1 year. It's the perfect Christmas gift for that busy someone in your life. Get the Daily God Book for just $15 when you visit connectionradio.org. Also, look for other great gift ideas, including more books from Skip and his wife, Lenya, Christmas music, DVDs, and more. Find out what's available. Plus, order the Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig for $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Find Christmas gifts with true meaning from The Connection. Visit connectionradio.org.
And you can find out more about our special Christmas offers when you visit connectionradio.org. Or if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, all you need to do is call us at 1-800-922-1888. When you do so, we'll send you a copy of Skip's message on CD for just $6. And you can also order a copy online at connectionradio.org. Plus, if you do contact us for the first time today, we have a little something extra to help you get ready for Thanksgiving. A free booklet from Skip called Thoughts of Thanksgiving. And we'll send that to you for giving us a call and letting us know it's your first time to do so at 1-800-922-1888 or by writing us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
What we see, hear, taste, and touch isn't all there is to this world. There's a spiritual dimension that is just as real, and we'll explore that in greater detail next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.